Greetings in Christ Jesus, and welcome once again to the Twin Steeples podcast. Twin Steeples is a production of Emmanuel Evangelical Lutheran Church here in Mankato, Minnesota, whose main goals are to share God's saving word and to communicate the ongoing activity of Christ's kingdom here at Emmanuel. Thank you for joining us today. Today is Wednesday, April 3rd, 2024. I'm your host, Pastor Joe Nauman, joined today by a room full of guys. We have Mr. Brandon Heinze, Mr. Matthew Kranz, and Mr. Bob Heller joining us for the first time today. How are you doing today, Bob?
Doing fine.
Coming up from the kitchen today to come and share God's word with us a little bit. So
a little bit.
Thank you. How are the rest of you guys doing today?
Doing well.
Good.
Good, good. Let me personally say that I'm thankful to be done with Easter. It was a wonderful time of year. My favorite time of year, the highest holiday in the Christian calendar, but also a little bit of a sprint. You know, if you think of Lent being 6 weeks long, two services a week, and then the sprint up to Monday, Thursday, Good Friday, and Easter. But pray that everybody was enlightened and strengthened by their meditation on our Savior's resurrection this year. And I really, really enjoyed doing the services, and pray everyone enjoyed them as well. So it's a lot of fun. So our brief meditation for today comes from Philippians chapter 2. We're going to read verses 9 through 11. And just to give you a little background, last week we went through the verses just prior to this, and it kind of traced Jesus' humiliation, how Jesus went from the right hand of God on high, was in the form of God, but he lowered himself, he humbled himself, all the way to the point of death, even the death of the cross. And that's kind of, if you think of it as kind of a downhill humiliation, it's like down, 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 down. And you can think of the Apostles' Creed too. You know, he was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, crucified, died, and was buried. And that's kind of the bottom. And then he builds his way back up. And that's what we're seeing today, is this the second half of the Apostles' Creed, second half of this section in Philippians, where now he's being exalted back to the right hand of God, back to the glory and the power that he had before he gave it all up to become a human and to save us. And so, again, Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 and 11. Therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So this section brings up the name of Jesus. You know, when we think of the name of God, we can think of the second commandment, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. We can think of the second article, hallowed be thy name. And so when we think of the name of Jesus, you know, it's more than just five letters, J-E-S-U-S. There's so much more to that. So maybe I'll just start by asking the room, what's in a name? You know, what does a name really mean, more than just the letters put together? But what does a name mean, and then what does Jesus' name really mean to us?
Well, a name's your identification. It comes down to not even just like, hey, that person's name is, but then anytime someone hears that name, they think about all the characteristics and qualities and things like that that person exemplifies or has demonstrated throughout their interactions with other people and things like that. So, you know, when I think of the name like Matthew Kranz, for example, it is a great name, but, you know, that makes me think of, you know, his characteristics and things like that. It doesn't just say, oh, who is that? Mm-hmm. It's if you know somebody like Jesus, and everybody is going to know Jesus as it's foretold here, you will not only just know, hey, that's just someone's name, you will know he's the ultimate power. Things like that.
You never quite know what you think about a name until you have a kid. And you're picking out names. I remember we went through many names, and we named Juliet was not named after anyone, including Shakespeare. We just liked it. But her middle name, we named after Aaron because we were so impressed with her and just how helpful she was and just a good Christian example. But yeah, you know, you don't really think about it in depth until you're in those situations when you're really considering what is associated along with it. You know, and there's lots of Matthews. There's more than one Matthew Kranz, but there is only one, Jesus. And that's the one name that God gave.
Yeah.
That's like, I'm not sure what verse it is, but name above all names.
Mm-hmm. Yep, yep.
Like the end.
Yeah, Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Yep, absolutely. Yeah. So I like that name as an identification, but it's also, you know, everything that's associated with that too. Yeah. I really like that idea. So then he mentions the name of Jesus, and you mentioned just as we were taking a look at this before, Bob, that you like to use verse 10 when you're speaking to atheists. I'll read it again, then maybe you can comment on why you like to use it. So Philippians 2:10 says that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth. So how do you like to use that with a conversation with an atheist?
Well, I've never had a real, you know, it's never contentious. It's just, I find them interesting people because they say, well, and they try to redefine the word atheist, which you can't really do, but it's kind of like, you know, I don't believe in God. Well, then it leads into a gentle but interesting discussion on God doesn't need our permission to exist. And this verse is, you know, it doesn't say most knees will bow and most tongues will confess. It says all. And it's, you know, now or you can do it. I mean, you know what I mean? You will.
Yeah.
You will. But it's just a matter of, do you want a guiding, something to tether your life to, a guiding way to a purpose?
Reminds you of that section in Scripture where it's, even the demons know who Jesus is and tremble.
Yeah. You
know, that, it's a,
yeah.
It's a real name with real power and real meaning. And
right.
The most power.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's, I think, one of the implications you get from this verse is that every knee is going to bow, those in heaven, they're going to be bowing, you know, triumphantly and rejoicing and being very joyful in it. Of those on the earth, those people that, you know, are still waiting for the end of time and things like that, whether they are believers or unbelievers, they're all going to be bowing on that day when Jesus comes back. And then those under the earth, and I don't know if that's, we're supposed to take from that as the people that
I think we sure could.
Are condemned, but they are the ones, as Matthew just kind of talked about, the demons trembling. They also will be bowing, but they're going to be bowing in fear and trembling, and the fact that they are no longer have an opportunity to be able to be with God for all eternity.
Some will choose wrongly.
And so it's kind of a, do you want to bow and confess here in time when you can do so willingly and joyfully and happily? Or do you want to be forced to do it on the last day? Because either way, it's going to happen. Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, you know, and that's certainly not happening today, but it will come. That day will come. So what is that? Maybe we should just kind of define that last part there, that Jesus Christ is Lord. What does it mean that Jesus Christ is your Lord? And what does that Lord, the word Lord mean, and what does it mean to not just say it, but also to live it?
Well, I read something like a week ago about just that. It's like, you know, like you said, even the demons confess God, but not for the right reason. And there's a difference between saying Lord, Lord, and living like it's Lord, Lord. You know, you say it, I say it, am I living like he is? Not always.
Yeah,
there's those seven I am statements in John where he says I am, right? And it's it's in the middle of his humility when he's preaching to the people. And you know, that's not exactly the answer to your question, that's kind of what I think of right now, that there's no humiliation anymore at all, not a shadow of it. There's nothing to it, nothing that would diminish what he is, which is God, you know, Yahweh, the I am God, and also the God who saves. So when we say Lord, that Jesus Christ is Lord, because every tongue will confess that, it's out of such joy and gratitude, that's our Lord, the one who saved us. And then the other ones, like we've been talking about, the flip side, that it's the Lord, and then those people who do not believe will know exactly who he is, and that Lord comes as a judge, and as someone to punish them for their sins, and it'll be terrifying to them. Yeah. But no matter if you're a believer or no matter if you're an unbeliever, when you call Christ Lord, it's to God's glory. And it's almost like someone throwing back the curtain for the Wizard of Oz, except instead of a small, frail man, it's, you know, the most divine, powerful person in the universe.
Yeah.
It's no more doubts there.
Yeah. I think of, you know, if you think of like the word Lord in the middle, you know, like the Middle Ages, you know, the Lord was the king or the ruler of the area or whatever it was. And, you know, for those who were enemies of that Lord, you know, he was still the Lord. He was, you know, he was going to come down and punish those who disobeyed him or disobeyed the law. And yet for the people who he cared for and who obeyed the law and acted lovingly towards him, he was, you know, benevolent. And, you know, at least that's what a Lord was supposed to be. And of course, many abuses took place. But when it comes to our Lord Jesus, you know, he acts graciously and lovingly towards us who consider him our Lord. And yet for those who, as you said, Matthew, who rejected his free gift of grace, you know, he is still Lord, but it's going to be a different face turned towards them than towards those of us who believe in him. Which should make us all thankful that the Lord has worked in our hearts, you know, that heart of faith. And, you know, certainly something to keep in mind as we interact with others. You know, you mentioned speaking to an atheist, you know, and you know, sharing with them the gospel, because it's the gospel that's going to change hearts and lives. It's the gospel that worked in our hearts to create faith, and that keeps us connected to the work of Jesus so many years ago. And I think always the line that goes through my head is, "There, but by the grace of God go I." You know, I could, you know, the Lord, it's his grace and his love that keeps us in the faith and keeps us confessing Jesus Christ as Lord in the way that we should and ought while we're here in this life. So any closing thoughts on this section? I think it's really fitting the week after Easter to remember, as he is risen, and he is risen indeed, that this is our exalted Jesus, that he's not dead in the tomb, he's not suffering on the cross, facing that humiliation. He has conquered death, he's conquered sin. Victory is now ours through Christ. And just as he is exalted in heaven, you know, he tells us that we're gonna live and we're gonna rule and reign with him right there with him. So we'll be praising Jesus in heaven, and we will be like him, glorious in every way, which is amazing to think about, that we'll be exalted alongside of him in heaven. So praise Jesus for that. And why don't we close with a prayer? Thank you, Lord Jesus, for raising yourself from the dead. Thank you for showing your victory over sin, death, and the devil through that event on that first Easter Sunday. We thank you for coming into our hearts and lives through your Holy Spirit, through the Word and the sacraments, in order to bless us and to encourage us with faith and strengthening of that faith through our earthly journey. We pray that you would continue to help us as we seek to confess your name to others. Bless the labor of our hands as we share the good news of Christ crucified, and yet also Christ ever living and ever reigning in heaven for us. Bless us as we walk as your children in this world, shining as lights in the darkness. In your name we pray. Amen. That brings us to our weekly updates and reminders today. As you likely have heard, Pastor Nathaniel Mayhew of Grace Sleepy Eye and Faith New Ulm has accepted the call to come and work with us here at Emmanuel. So we praise God for his gracious and delivering hand in answering our prayers and filling the vacancy that we've had here for the past several months. Plans are in the works to get Pastor Mayhew here, and so we look forward to him arriving and coming to work with us in the next few months here. A couple of things on the calendar to keep in mind. Church Cleanup Day is coming up 10 days from today on April 13th, so not this Saturday, but the following Saturday. Hope you can join us for that. Cemetery Cleanup Day is the Saturday after that, April 20th. So please plan on joining us for one or both of those events as we look to clean up our sanctuary and our church here, and also the week after to clean up the cemetery. Our Mission Festival will be held that weekend, April 20th and 21st. My brother Sam Nauman, who lives over in the Eau Claire area, is planning to come and to visit us to bring us God's Word on that Mission Festival weekend. And we will also be hosting a Sunday school play on that Sunday after church. So we look forward to those exciting events. The fifth and sixth grade classroom here at our school wrote that play, and so it should be an exciting event. Look forward to doing that down in the church basement. There will be a quarterly voters meeting on April 22nd. That'd be Monday night, so voters can plan on that. And finally, this is getting a little bit far out, but May 11th is going to be our Adopt a Highway Saturday, when we'll go clean our highway out there on Monks Avenue. As far as our prayer list today, we continue to pray on behalf of Pastor John Hine. We pray for Marlene Hannell and also for Jim Leon, all of whom are dealing with various stages of cancer. We pray on behalf of Kimberly Olmanson, that'd be the daughter-in-law of Omar and Kathleen Olmanson, the wife of their son, Garth. She's been getting some treatments for some neck and nerve problems she's been having that's affecting her vision. Pray that God would bless her and the doctors as they seek to figure out what the problem is. Which brings us to our hymn of the day today, which is hymn 205 in the Red Hymnal. The day of resurrection, earth, tell it out abroad. The Passover of gladness, the Passover of God. From death to life eternal, from this world to the sky, our Christ hath brought us over with hymns of victory. Our hearts be pure from evil, that we may see aright the Lord and rays eternal of resurrection light, and listening to his ascents may hear so calm and plain, his own all hail and hearing may raise the victor strain. Now let the heavens be joyful, let earth her song begin, let all the world keep triumph and all that is therein. Let all things, seen and unseen, their notes of gladness blend, for Christ the Lord hath risen, our joy that hath no end. Amen. Thank you for joining us on the Twin Steeples podcast. Once again, Twin Steeples is a production of Emmanuel Evangelical Lutheran Church here in Mankato, Minnesota. For more information about the ongoing activity here, we'd invite you to check out our website, emmanuelmankato.org. Until next time, may God bless and keep you, and may you always remember, Emmanuel, God is with you.